Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know around here we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to school to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
And here's Molly Wood with today's Tesla update. Well, Molly, what do you have to say? Oh, my God.
Is it running or not running?
That would be pretty good. Oh, my Lord. Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Bristow. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, making today make sense. Also, Molly's car troubles, but that's a whole different thing.
Yep, goodness. You just hold tight for that. We have a whole plan for a rolling review series about Molly's new car. I'm Molly Wood. Thanks for joining us. It is Monday, also known as What Did We Miss Monday, where we do a lightning round of stories you might have missed over the weekend. And I'm just going to tell you now that apparently Kai and I were stockpiling these suckers starting on Friday night because by 1 o'clock, right? Each of us was like, paste.
Well, my email was full of things I had sent to myself with the subject line that said MMS.
Oh, so, yeah. I Slack them to myself. Now we know the system.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
Well, there
yeah.
Is. Yeah. It's cross-platform.
Okay, so let's go. I will take the larger environmental one, and then you take the granular political one. How about that?
Sure.
Does that work? Okay.
Love it.
So, story in the LA Times this weekend. It was, 15, 16, 17, yesterday. If you are anywhere in or near the American West, you know of Lake Tahoe. And even if you are not out here, you have heard of it. And it's pristine waters and its incredible setting and how it's fed by snowmelt from the Sierra and how that replenishes it. And it's amazing. Well, maybe not so much anymore. The climate is warming. The snowpack in the Sierra is dwindling. There has been for months now, none of it left up there, which means there's no water going into Lake Tahoe, which means Lake Tahoe no longer feeds into the Truckee River, which runs down through California to Pyramid Lake, and there it just stops. So the planet is getting so hot that there's no snow on the mountains, and one of the most iconic lakes in the United States, if not the world, doesn't have enough water in it to feed the rivers that run from it. Ta-da!
Yeah.
That's my apocalyptic story for the day. It's crazy.
It's real bad, and it is nicely paired like a stinky cheese and a French wine with this story that came out Friday about how just looking ahead to snacks, to hors d'oeuvre hour. It is nicely paired with a sort of unfortunate story on Friday about how the New York Times reported that Senator Joe Manchin, and I'm sure you already heard a bunch of takes on this, but not mine, so I'm going to bring it up because it's What'd You Miss Monday. The New York Times reported Friday that Senator Manchin, who is, of course, the conservative West Virginia Democrat, has basically told the White House that he opposes a clutch climate measure in the multi-trillion, the $3.5 trillion sort of soft infrastructure bill that everybody is fighting over. The program at issue is $150 billion for something called the Clean Electricity Performance Program, which would financially, which would give utilities money to transition to renewable energy and impose penalties on the ones that don't. The reason, and evidently in a meeting with, a previously undisclosed meeting with the White House, Manchin said, well, look, if these utilities are already installing clean electricity because it's cheaper in some, in many cases now than fossil fuels, why would we give them money to do it? that may or may not be a reasonable question. I think that what most people are finding and people who work in the renewable energy industry will tell you is that utilities do need to be incentivized because otherwise they want to pass cost on to the customer or they want to charge them for using solar. So it's like, oh, yeah, you can get solar with this cool tax incentive from your state or the federal government, but we're going to charge you $90 a month to operate that solar. That's what utilities are doing because they are worried about this death spiral where people decentralize and, you know, stop using so much energy and stop paying for so much energy. So they really... Almost everybody agrees that utilities are not going to wholesale transition to renewable energy without an incentive and maybe without a stick. That particular provision means that we will fall way, way, way short of the global climate pledge that the U.S. wants to make next month at COP26, the big international climate talk in Glasgow, Scotland. It means that the entire climate agenda is in limbo, and it puts into serious doubt the ability of the administration to reach the 50% in reduction emissions reductions that it promised to achieve by 2030. Just this one, just that one chunk, because electricity is that big a deal.
Utilities, I think putting it into serious doubt is soft pedaling it, right? I mean, honestly, it almost puts it out of reach, don't you?
And listen, like, I know everybody has a lot. This is the take that I have been saving since Friday. I know everybody has a lot to say about Joe Manchin. About Senator Manchin. He comes from a coal state. He personally is enriched by this industry. He like owns a company that he hasn't 100% divested from or still gets money from it. You know, there's a lot of financial conflicts of interest when it comes to this particular vote, especially since he's on the Energy Commission. However, I would like to note that this provision is opposed by Senator Joe Manchin and every Republican. Every single one. So like, there's no middle ground on climate. Vox has this nice piece, actually, about how you can't be a climate centrist when it's an existential threat, when rivers and lakes are drying up, when hydropower is not going to work in California because of a mega drought, when all of the so on and so on and so on, right? It is convenient to blame this one guy right now at this exact moment in time. But the fact that we have come here when every Democratic president since Clinton has tried to pass some meaningful climate legislation and been blocked by a party who will know, who has made it now essentially religion to say that climate change is not human caused and we're not going to do anything about it, is to dramatically oversimplify the issue. It'd be real nice if Joe Manchin wanted to get on board, but money talks, and clearly money talk is talking to a whole other party. And they should probably be held to account for that also. Like, Manchin shouldn't be every headline. Manchin and every Republican. Every single one. Come on, news. You're killing me here.
Speaking of news.
Speaking of news. Go, go, go. Yep.
All right. We're going to bang through a couple because, as Molly said, we both have just large stockpiles of things to say. So, super quick. The Holy Father, Pope Francis, sent out a message this weekend to the Fourth World Meeting of Popular Movements. Brothers, sisters, and dear social poets, the pontiff said, wrote a multi-page letter of which I will quote just one thing, just because it's always interesting when the Pope speaks on current events, right? Because there are Catholics out there who take for, you know, whatever the Pope says as gospel, almost literally. In the name of God, the Pope says, I ask the technology giants to stop exploiting human weakness, people's vulnerability for the sake of profits without caring about the spread of hate speech, grooming, fake news, conspiracy theories, and political manipulation. So that's the Pope on social media. He also, by the way, takes the media to task and also arms dealers and telecommunications industries and powerful countries. But I just thought that was of note. And it was it's in the vein of what'd you miss? You might have missed that. Zillow, and this is a thing that I think have we talked about on this podcast?
We did, yeah, we did. Right? We talked about the viral video.
Yes, so Zillow is going to stop its iBuying home flipping program because it says the supply chain glut or chaos means it can't get people to work on the homes that it buys and then flips. iBuying is it makes you an offer, you take it, basically sight unseen, and then Zillow fixes up your home and sells it, flips it. Molly has spoken about that viral video and how they're using data to figure out best prices for the homes and what they can get.
Allegedly.
It's just there is some peril. Allegedly, yes. Thank you very much. Fine. Good. Fine. It's just, you know, there's peril in convenience. And for a lot of people who were trying to sell their homes, this Zillow program was convenient, but it comes at a cost. And I just, I wanted to note that. Let's see. Sorry, flipping down my list. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. So this. So, we've talked before about Bitcoin and how much power it sucks and how it was all, you know, places in Inner Mongolia that was doing it in China and all this stuff. Well, look, as we talked about on this podcast like a month ago, China has basically banned Bitcoin mining, right? And from 6 months ago or 6 weeks ago to now, its share of output of Bitcoins being mined or hashed, as the saying goes, has fallen to essentially zero. You know who picked up the slack? The United States picked up the slack. Our share of Bitcoin mining and thus energy use and all of that jazz has gone through the proverbial roof, which is just kind of remarkable. We are now responsible for, 35.2% of all Bitcoin mining, which is just kind of cray-cray. Kind of cray-cray.
Yeah.
I just,
and somebody's
going to
send us a note
about
how, like,
power and energy. I know.
Yeah. Somebody's going to be like, they use a lot of renewable energy. And look, like, the estimates vary, and maybe they use more than the grid. But the fact is they consume a lot of energy, full stop. And if the whole goal is we're going to have to change a lot about our lives to fix the climate situation, then just using that much energy on an asset class is still questionable.
Still stupid. All right. I'm going to skip the Janet Yellen debt limit thing so that I can get to Jay Powell and a report in the American Prospect because I want to contextualize it. So remember a couple of weeks ago, there was news about the president of the Dallas Fed, Robert Kaplan, and the Boston Federal Reserve Bank, Eric Rosengren, having traded specifically individual stocks while the Federal Reserve was getting deeply into the market during the pandemic in a way it hadn't. Right. And it came out on their disclosure forms. Those two men resigned. Jay Powell was asked about this at a Fed meeting and said, we're all deeply disappointed. This is not where we want to be. And he said, we're going to look into it and change our ethics guidelines. Well, the American Prospect, which is a progressive magazine, got a hold of Jay Powell's financial disclosure forms for the past calendar year. And they show that Mr. Powell also sold, there was no buy, there was no trading, it was selling securities. It was specifically a Vanguard full market index fund and some others, but it was index funds, not individual stocks, at a point when the Fed was getting into the market, which looks really, really bad and is really bad because the Fed ought not be doing it. But I have to contextualize this. Jay Powell is not a moron. And for this to be nefarious, you have to believe that Jay Powell knowingly sold into a market that was tanking. The market was cratering, and he lost a huge amount of money. So, was it bad? Yes. Was it nefarious? I don't think so. And I just wanted to get that out there.
I don't even know what nefarious means in this context, though. I mean, it's definitely...
Evil-minded. Evil-minded.
It's just greedy-minded. Look, it's insider trading. Like, come on. I actually am astonished to discover that the Fed chair is allowed to hold securities, along with members of Congress, like, along with, members of the Federal Reserve. Right. Like, seriously?
Yep.
That's astonishing. And to sell, on October 1st, 2020, there is literally no human being, I would imagine, more in a position of knowledge than the chair of the Federal Reserve. Oh, look, that's what the story says. There's no American with more insider knowledge about government policy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? That's unacceptable. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry. Context or no? Come on. Come on. That actually leads brilliantly into my top two items for What Did You Miss Monday, which is that number one, the Bloomberg report that the top 1% of earners in the United States for the first time now hold more combined wealth than the entire middle class. Meaning the middle 60% of U.S. households by income. Just the 1% hold more than all of that, which is astonishing and leads me to it's going to seem like a stretch a little bit, but leads me to my second item, which is that Netflix estimates that Squid Game on Netflix will be worth almost $900 million and more than 130 million people have watched the Korean show, which is essentially a very messed up, brutal send up of capitalism. And I sort of feel like if you're really worried about like the wealth tax, what you should actually be worried about is 130 million people relating hard to Squid Game.
Yep. Yep.
I'm just saying, that's a revolution a brewing. Look out.
Yep.
130 million people are like, yep.
Yeah.
Seems crazy. Legit. I know. All right, let's skip ahead to make me smile.
Okay.
Which is also
That's great. Deb in Mountain View, California sent, I'm assuming it's California because I don't know any other Mountain Views, but if you have one out there that's not in California, email us.
Yeah, tell us.
Know. Anyway, Deb says, I just wanted to send you all this comic. Hopefully it makes someone smile, and we have to read this comic to you. It's amazing. And with apologies to William Carlos Williams, I'll take the first stanza and you take the rest of them. This Perfect. Is just to say, I have uninstalled the Facebook that was on my phone.
And which you were probably saving for human connection. Forgive me. They were a dumpster fire. So bankrupt and so cold.
That's the best part. They were a dumpster fire. Oh, my goodness.
This, of course, poem has been viral, been a, like its own little meme for months. Oh, yeah. In case you had missed it, you should look it up. It's actually about plums. But yeah, I skipped past the latest in the Facebook files about Facebook's use of AI, which only catches like 2% evidently of all the stuff that Mark Zuckerberg was like, the robots will get it. So this poem is very timely. Very timely. Yeah. Amazing.
Boom.
All right, that's it for today. Not so bad. Actual 15 minutes. Tomorrow, nerd stuff. We're going to do a deep dive on decentralized finance, or DeFi, which is all about kind of this new idea of a financial system, not just crypto, but that's a big part of it, but a financial system that does not rely on centralized intermediaries or institutions like the stock-selling Fed. Just kidding. We'll talk about what it really is, what the risks are, lots, what regulators and Congress should do about it, also probably lots. Subscribe to Make Me Smart in your favorite podcast app to get that show and more. Or maybe not.
Send us your questions or comments on this or any other topic we've discussed here at any time in the past 5 years. Also, your Make Me Smile suggestions, please. You can reach us at makemesmart@marketplace.org, or you can just call us, leave us a voice message. Our number is 508-827-6278, 508-UB-SMART, S-M-A-R-T. I can spell, too. How about that?
So bankrupt and so cold. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera with help from Mark A. Green. Today's program was engineered by Charlton Thorpe. Tony Wagner writes our newsletters.
Bridget Bodner is in charge. Donna Tam is actually in charge. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say.
Dude, 130 million people. Also, did you see that Netflix was basically like, hey, Netflix or Bloomberg, if you publish this, we'll sue you?
Oh, I know. And you're like, shut up.
Because Netflix is so hardcore about leaks. Who knew? I feel like subplot of last week is like, Netflix are kind of
jerks. Last week, yes. They're kind of jerks and super uptight and not very smart, right? Not very smart.
Not at
about that
not
kind of
in
stuff.
The EQ way. Yeah, no.
Yeah, exactly.
Strong communication skills are critical for success in business and in life. Hi, I'm Matt Abrahams, and I host Stanford Graduate School of Business's Think Fast, Talk Smart, the podcast. Each week, I sit down with experts to discuss the best tips to help you with your communication skills, from conflict management to mastering small talk to tackling communication anxiety. Join us and start to develop and hone your communication skills. Listen every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube.